Dear gracious Father, we are thankful, Father, that you have come in this hour, that you have brought forth, Lord, your great shout, your great influence from that shout. And Father, we pray that we would pay attention, Lord, to the things that you have spoken to us through the lips of your prophet, knowing that they were not his words, it was not his message, but simply, Father, it was your message, for you're the one who descended with the message, with the shout. And so, Lord, we ask that that shout, Lord, would be effective in our lives. It would affect us, Lord, to the place of living holy and dedicated before thee. And Father, we just commit, Lord, as we would study thy message this morning, that you would help us to have a better understanding of our own role and the relationship that we have with you and with your word. For we ask it humbly in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. This morning we'd like to continue with the masterpiece number 34 in our series, and the subtitle is Inspiration. And we're taking our thoughts this morning from paragraph 35 of the masterpiece, where Brother Branham said, "Now a genuine sculptor is inspired like a genuine poet or any genuine singer, musician, whatever it might be. All real has to come by inspiration. Michelangelo must have had the inspiration of what Moses really looked like, and he caught it in his mind what Moses must have been. So he set forth on this great piece of marble to cutting to the pattern and bringing down and honing down until he got to the real picture of what it must have been in his mind." Now this morning I would like to take our thoughts from this paragraph where Brother Branham speaks about inspiration and how that anything that is genuine or real comes from inspiration, whether it be music, art, poetry, whatever that is genuine and real must come by inspiration. So what does it mean, the word inspiration? Well, the word inspiration simply means stimulation of the mind or emotions to a high level of feeling or activity. Now, that is what it means to the layman, in layman's terms. But in theology, or in the Christian world, it means totally something different. The word inspiration in theological terms means divine guidance or influence exacted directly on the mind and soul of humankind. Now, we know that the word inspiration comes from the root word inspire, and the very first definition in our American Heritage Dictionary for the word inspire is to affect, to guide, or arouse by divine influence. So you see then that we are dealing with a subject that has its very source in God, and since the word means to affect or guide or arouse by divine influence, then we are talking about the effect that God's Spirit has upon man to guide him, to affect him in his actions, and or simply to influence him in the right direction. In fact, the scriptures themselves, which any Bible believer considers to be the absolute or our absolute concerning right and wrong and in general the way of life, the scripture tells us that they are inspired by God. In other words, they are God-breathed. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, we read, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness." Several other translations tell us in 2 Timothy 3 and 16, "All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness." Now, the reason it is God-breathed is because it is the spoken word. And to speak, you must breathe. You know, we say, breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out. Well, in order to speak, you must breathe out. And so it is God-breathed. And so we're dealing with the essence and influence of God when we're talking about inspiration, as Brother Branham is speaking of concerning music, art, poetry, that is genuine and that is real. Now then, it would suffice for us to say that that which is not genuine and that which is not real is not inspired by God. Because if that which is genuine, that which is real, is inspired by God, then that which is not inspired by God. For God is the author and God is the creator. He does not pervert, nor does God copy. For he is the author and finisher, and besides him there is no other. You see, when we truly understand the sovereignty of God, then we will know with assurance that God is the author, and he is the creator, and he is the first, and his first thought is the best thought. And his first words could not contradict his final words. He is God, and he changes not. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Therefore, in order to understand the thought that Brother Branham so beautifully presented to us, we must look at it from two different angles. Number one, anything that is genuine and real has its source in God. Number two, anything that is not genuine and real has been influenced by other than God. And if we open our Bibles to John chapter 3, and we'll read from verse, 18 to verse 21. He that believeth on him is He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved, shown to be wrong. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God, that they had their source in God. So you see then, anything that is not genuine and real has not been influenced by God, but anything that is genuine and real has its source in God. Now the Apostle Paul told us in his letter to the Galatians the following. Galatians 1:1. Paul, an apostle, and the word apostle means one that is sent. If he's one that is sent, then we must know who sent him. And he says, not of men, I'm sent, I'm an apostle, I'm sent, but not of men, not by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. So we are told that Jesus Christ sent Paul, and not only Jesus Christ, but God who raised Jesus from the dead sent him. And all the brethren, he says, which are with me, unto the churches of Galatia, grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we find in every one of Paul's letters the same form of eulogy. Paul acknowledges God as the Father of Jesus, and then he points us to the sacrifice made in our behalf by Jesus, who gave himself for our sins, he says, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. Now notice here that Paul tells us that the very sacrifice that Jesus made on our behalf was in obedience to the will of his Father, who happens to be God himself. And to this one Paul continues, to whom be glory forever and ever. Then after his eulogy to God and his Son, the apostle begins to admonish the Galatians for their lack of holding to the faith. He says in verse 6, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ, but unto another gospel. Now the one that called them into the grace of Christ is God himself, of course. And Paul tells the Galatians that they have left this grace that God gave us through Christ. And then he tells us how that they left this grace. He says, by another gospel. Now, this word another was translated from the Greek word heteros, which means a different nature. Therefore, Paul is not telling us, or telling them, that the other gospel was one altogether that was different. In other words, he's not saying that they were not believing a gospel of some heathen sect or a gospel of some other god, but simply the gospel that they were believing had a different nature to it than the gospel that he brought. And that is why he says in verse 7, which is not another. And although this English translation chose the same word another, it does not mean the same thing, because it was translated from a different word altogether. The Greek word here was the word allos, which means different altogether. And Paul says it wasn't one that was different altogether, but it's one that's heteros, which means of a different nature. So notice Paul says that the gospel they were believing was different from the gospel he had preached in its nature, although it was not an altogether different gospel. In other words, they were using the same words that Paul was using, but when they said it, the meaning was not the same, and the nature behind what was being taught was not the same, and therefore it was leading them away from the message that Paul taught them rather than reinforcing the same message. Now we find the same thing holds true for today. They use the same words like token, Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus Christ, etc., but their message is very different from the message that William Branham taught. Although they use the very same words that Brother Branham used when he preached, and they use them to preach, yet the very nature of what is being taught is very different from what Brother Branham taught. You see? Then Paul continues, but there be some that trouble you, that would trouble you, and would pervert the gospel of Christ. So we see then that Paul is alluding to here is that there are those who are teaching the same gospel, but with such a twist that in effect they are perverting what he taught. Although they're using the same words, the same definitions, everything else, yet the way that they're teaching it is bringing it out with a different nature. And this word pervert was taken from the Greek word metastrepho, which means to turn around, to twist, or pervert. Now the word metastrepho comes from two words, meta, which means to come behind, and the word strepho, which means to turn from one's course. Therefore, the combination of the word was used by the Apostle Paul to warn us that those that would come behind and turn the course of those who had been following after Paul's teaching to another course or nature than to what Paul had been directing them towards. In other words, coming behind and somehow affecting the way of the outcome, all right, by turning them to a different nature. Now, we have also seen in this message William Branham came teaching a correct understanding of the Godhead, that there is one God, and this one God had a son, and that son was not God himself, but that God indwelt that son, and that the body itself was not deity, but deity, God himself, indwelt that body. And he told us that the Son of God could not be his own father, but had in fact become a dual being, because God had entered into him at the River Jordan and remained in him until he left Jesus in Gethsemane. But men have come in, as the Apostle Paul said, and as he has warned, that men would either rise up from our midst or would enter in from the outside, not sparing the flock, and would pervert the gospel that he was trying to get them to believe and to understand. And thus the warning was given to the Galatians, which he said, "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As he said before, so say I again, if any man preach any gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed." Now, Paul is telling them that any gospel that is not the gospel that he preached is a perverted gospel. Then if Alpha has become Omega, then William Branham would not have come preaching any gospel other than what Paul had preached. And we know that he did. He preached exactly the same. And when he said, you know, when he was caught up to the other side, the people said, "We're counting on that, Brother Branham." Then the apostle says, "For do I now persuade men? Is that what it's all about? Am I trying to persuade men? Or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ." Now what the apostle Paul is telling us here is that he preached what he preached because it was what God told him to preach. He did not preach to please men, but to please God. And any man that preaches to please men is not a servant of God. And so he says, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Therefore we see then, that which is genuine and that which is real is from God. But that which is not genuine or real must then be from another source." Now, in the sermon, "The Greatest Battle Ever Fought," Brother Branham told us that the mind is where the greatest battle between God and Satan is taking place. And a person literally can be used by both God and the devil if they're not careful. David was a good example of that. He wrote the Psalms, which were inspired by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God. And yet this same man was caught up in his flesh and sinned in his flesh against God and against Uriah, the husband of Bathsheba. And David became anointed in his flesh by the devil. So in one aspect, he was anointed in his flesh by God to write the Psalms. In another, he was anointed by the devil to do the devil's deeds. So here we have a man that was anointed by God one moment and by Satan another moment. Well, you say that's just the Old Testament. What about the New? Well, we find the same thing happened to Peter. In one instance, we hear Jesus tell him that flesh and blood hath not revealed this to him, that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God, but it was revealed by God himself. And then we see in just a short time later that Jesus says to him, "Get thee behind me, Satan," right to his face. So you see, Peter himself was a complex man that was anointed one minute by God and then the next by Satan. And any vessel that God so chooses to use had better be careful, or Satan will try to anoint him just as sure as he has been anointed by God. Why? Because Satan is the perverter of truth. Satan has no word of his own, so he takes the word of God and he twists it for his own benefit. I'll never forget, I was talking to a brother that was a deacon, Brother Branham was pastor of the tabernacle, And this brother said that there was a brother in the church. He was a deacon. He happened to walk between Brother Branham and the people while Brother Branham was preaching, because he was going to check on the temperature. And so he had to go over, and he was going to, you know, check, and he had to pass between Brother Branham and the people. And he said when he did, his mind became so filled with vile, dirty, wicked thoughts. And after the service, he said, Brother Branham, he said, I don't know what happened to me, but he said, when I walked between you and the people, he said, my mind was so filled with vile, dirty, wicked thoughts. Brother Branham said, it's that way every time. He said, that's just the devil trying to bombard my mind and keeping me from preaching the Word of God. So you see, when you're anointed by God, the devil's going to try everything he can, every trick in the book, to attract you to sin, because actually sin is attraction. That's the definition of sin. It's, you know, sin is unbelief, and sin is actually, in its essence, it's attractive. And man is a spiritual being, and he receives inspiration from God, but can also, if not careful, be influenced by the devil. Now, some would say, oh no, a man that is used by God could never be used by Satan. And to say that, you just don't understand the workings of the devil. When Jesus was filled with the very Spirit and presence of God in the River Jordan, he immediately went up to the wilderness for testing. There it was that he was tempted of Satan on several occasions during the 40 days of fasting. Now, to be tempted, and the Bible says he was tempted, and to be tempted means that it had to be attractive and inviting. And that is what sin is all about. It is attractive and it's inviting. I don't know too many men that are attracted to just a very, very ugly woman. They're attracted to a beautiful woman. I mean, I don't say that to be demeaning women. I mean, women are not attracted to a big old fat ugly man. They're attracted to someone who's got their act together. You see, and sin is attractive. And so Jesus himself, with the very being of God in him at this time, was tempted, although he didn't fall. Why? Because he was the Word. And when Satan came with him using the Word of God, he said, but it's also written. Giving us the pattern how we can overcome the devil. We know that Jesus was filled with the fullness of the Godhead, and therefore he did not fall. But we know that he was also tempted. And the word tempt means to be attracted, and it means to be alluring. And so the thoughts of bread when he was starving was pretty attractive, pretty enticing. But because he knew who he was, and the fullness of God was in him, the Word, he had a defense. He had the Word for his defense. But we know, in the Proverbs we're told that there is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is a way of death. So sin appears attractive, or it would not be inviting. Yet God gives us his Spirit and his wisdom to be able to overcome those inviting attractions that lead to death spiritually and physically. David was inspired to do things that he thought was the inspiration that came from God. But it didn't come from God, because had it come from God, God would have given the inspiration first to his servant Nathan, the prophet. Because God does all things through the prophet first. He reveals through the prophet first. Cain had a right sacrifice, but his sacrifice was out of season. David had a right revelation, but he didn't know how to go about it. And so he tried to have men pack it on the Ark of the Covenant on an ox instead of on the hands of the shoulders of the Levites. You see? From a sermon I have heard, Now I See, Brother Branham said, there's David, just as inspired as he could be. All the people shouting and glorifying God for a reason that seemed exactly scripture. It looked pretty good. It looked like they're having a revival. But he was the wrong person. That inspiration should have come to Nathan, not David. You see? He never even consulted Nathan. You see what happened? See, God said that he does nothing till he reveals it to his servants, the prophets, and Job was his prophet in that day. Now, only thing God has done to Job would always give him wisdom and his word and inspiration. He could get no inspiration. But he knowed all of his mechanics. He had offered the burnt offering. He had done everything that he knew to do that was right. But he couldn't get a word from God. But the devil couldn't move him either. There you are. Now, there you are when you're prayed for. You don't have to run back through the line or go let somebody else pray for you. When you know that you've done exactly what God told you to do, see, then wait for that channel of inspiration to open up to you. And now I'm healed. When it drops in there, then it's all over and you don't need no prayer lines, nothing else. It's over. It's been revealed to you, see. Now that is a problem that we have with so many Christians today. People in the Christian faith. And let's face it, the same problem is in many faiths. Just look at the Muslims, for example. Many of them get inspiration and think it's from God. And so he kills those who oppose him, thinking he's doing God a service. The Jews, killing the Christians, thinking they're doing God a service. The Catholics, killing the Protestants, thinking they're doing God a service. The Pentecostal believer many times confuses his or her own inspiration with being the inspiration from God. And because they cannot tell the difference, they think that it's from God. And so then in many cases we find them doing just the opposite from what God's word tells them to do. How many people have fallen under lust and yet believe that that was the Spirit of God telling them to love that person? Remember how Brother Branham told the story of the man who traveled from meeting to meeting with a woman in his own church? And he thought God had ordained for it to happen. But what did happen is that he ended up leaving his wife and children for this woman and then wanted to say that that was God's will to do so. How many people have entered into adultery thinking that it was God's will? Look, the Holy Spirit will never influence you away from his own word. In the book of Job, chapter 32, verse 8, we read, "But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth him understanding." And we are showed that, actually a couple weeks ago, I guess it was, we showed you that the result of lack of understanding is sin. And so the Holy Spirit is given to us to give us understanding so that we might not sin. And the Apostle John told us how to discern whether the spirit that's trying to influence us is from God or not. He said, give it the word test. He said, try the spirit to see whether it be in the faith. How often, excuse me, if we try the spirit, how do we try it? By giving it the word. Brother Branham said he checked every vision with the word. As a pastor for nearly 24 years, I've personally seen many a shipwreck among men and women who thought that they were justified in some action that they did because they thought that God was leading them to do the thing the way they did it. And yet in every instance, it was so far from the word that they just could not see it. And when you tried to help them see it, they'd look for some obscure scripture someplace that they could maybe fit, some square that they could fit in the round hole and say, well, see, the word says this also. They thought it was okay with God because they felt it was okay with God. And by going on their feelings, they left the word of God that was very apparent that what they were doing was against his word. But just like Eve in the garden, Satan whispers, God would not punish you for that. Surely you won't die. And yet they do. They run the red light, and then the next red light is a bit easier to run through. And finally, they think nothing of disobeying the word of God outright and leaving God altogether and leaving his word. There is a way that seems right unto man, but the way thereof is a way of death. Yet it seems right, but it isn't. It may seem right to the little teenager that they have a right to backtalk mother because, after all, this is America. But you had better be careful because you may not think much of your mother's words, but God's word will not be mocked without punishment. And if God said for you to honor your mother and father, you had better do it or else. In fact, that's the only command of God that promises you long life if you do so. Then not to do so, you're going to be cut short. In fact, God promises if you don't, you won't live long. So disobedience to the Word of God will bring negative results just as sure as obedience to the Word of God will bring positive results. Now, Brother Branham said in his sermon, Hear Ye Him, Brother Branham said, Now, when a man is inspired and he reads the inspired Word, the two inspirations together gives a result. Now, you can never, no matter how well you study the Word, it'll never do you no good till you're inspired yourself. It takes your inspiration. The Word's already inspired. It's God-breathed. It's inspired. So what we need today is an inspiration over us. God sweeping down with a new inspiration and breathing over us His power and His love and Himself. That it might inspire us to quicken us and waken us to His Word. And then the Word being brought into that spirit of inspiration, then you'll see miracles happen and things taking place because the two just comes together. Now we must make sure that the source of our inspiration then is of God. Or else we could fall to the inspiration of the devil. But Brother Branham told us that if it is a genuine or a real, it is inspired from God. But then if it isn't the inspiration that comes from God, it comes from the devil. That is why there is a genuine inspired music to worship God, and then the radio is just filled, the radio waves are just filled with the devil's inspiration upon music as well. So how do we tell if our inspiration is from God or from the devil? We give it the word test. Jesus said, Not everyone who saith, Lord, Lord, shall enter therein, but he that doeth the will of my Father. He that's obedient. And the Apostle Paul tells us that that the just shall live by faith. And he also taught us there that there is one faith, and that is the faith of the Son of God. His faith that he had in the Father. That's the one and only faith that we can go by. Finally, in closing, by faith Moses, Brother Branham said, Now, we lose our glory if we lose faith. Now, if we get away from faith, then we take the church into an intellectual realm. And many times it's been thought amongst people that because a congregation was large and they had a great churches, great steeples, and great lot of well-dressed and well-groomed people and a lot of finances, but that they could afford such things, we many times thought that was inspiring. That this certain church must be inspired. Or we've often referred to different ministers who get out on the field and have great gatherings of crowds, and we think sometimes that they are the signs of inspiration. But that's not altogether the truth, the human inspiration. That's human inspiration. But the real inspiration comes by doing the will of God. You see? Whether it be one or just a handful, whether it be a big church or a small church, it matters not. Whether he is a great eloquent speaker or just a man that hardly knows his ABCs, it doesn't matter. It depends on the message that he brings, whether it is inspired by the Word of God or it is inspired by intellectual conception of human inspiration. Some people can be inspired because of an eloquent speaker. That doesn't make it right. Sometimes they're inspired because the man is so trained till he could put his point over. That doesn't mean that it's of God, you see? It's only through God's everlasting, eternal, blessed Word can we receive inspiration, and that's given by the Holy Ghost by faith. We receive it. So when Brother Branham says, that which is genuine, that which is real is inspired by God, comes by inspiration. That which is inspired, we have to check back to the source. Is it the Word? What does the Word say about that so-called inspiration? Because we can say it's so-called until we know whether it's the Word or not. And if it's not the Word, then we must be very careful. Let's bow our heads in prayer. The gracious Father, we absolutely love you, Lord, for you gave us your Word. It's the weapon of our warfare, the sword of the Word. And Father, it has a two-edged sword, and so does inspiration. The double edge is that, Father, if it's genuine and real, and if it lines up with your Word, we know the inspiration has come from you. But if it is not lining up with your Word, Father, then we know that the inspiration is not from you. So help us, Father, to always cling to the Word with all our heart. May your Word be our absolute. and may it truly point us in the direction in which we as sons must come to in obedience, for we ask it humbly in Jesus' name. Amen.